Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Breakdown live from 6 to 7 p.m. tonight, and we're pretty much going to pick up the trend from what we did a week ago when we talked about our favorite sports films. Tonight we're going to focus on our favorite sports video games, past, present, whatever you grew up playing, whatever your favorite game was. Let's talk about it. We got that to hang our head on. We got More NBA coverage, you know, it's the usual tonight. There's not much that's been jumping off a whole lot lately. We do have a number of players who have switched uniforms, but everyone is waiting on the two biggest free agents to either switch uniforms or go back to the teams that they were already playing for. So, my guess is I would not be surprised if LeBron and Carmelo stay put where they currently have been playing. I think it would be better if Carmelo stays put in New York just so he can be their franchise player. He loves New York. He won a national championship there just over 10 years ago at the University of Syracuse. And again, he's got the market, he's got the brand, he's got the endorsements, anything you can think of in New York, he has. I think alongside with Phil Jackson, you got to give him some time to kind of get his team back to more respectability. I don't want to just dart out if I'm Carmelo after really not even a season with Phil Jackson, you know, as part of the organization. That's something to think about. And as a diehard Lakers fan, I would love to see him come over and play with Kobe. I would love that. But I don't think it's going to happen. And the only reason why I feel that way is because I don't think the Lakers have enough money to throw at him for him to come over and play. And a lot of these teams, L.A., Chicago, Houston, they're all going to have to try and get under the salary cap if you want to throw money at the likes of LeBron or Carmelo, even Chris Bosh. There's a lot of money that has to come into play with this particular situation. And if you're Houston, you're on the verge of Chandler Parsons getting away from you and going to Dallas, which he had already did. Now, he did sign a big contract with the Mavericks, but the Rockets have until the end of the weekend to match the offer. If they do, Chandler Parsons stays put. However, that could put a huge damper on their attempts to bring over Chris Bosh, who they offered 4 years, $88 million. That's $22 million per season. That's something that you want to think about if you're Chris Bosh. You should not have to let LeBron be the determination of your future. Me, personally, I think Chris Bosh should go to Houston. The offense is better. It can spread him out a little bit more. He can take great, tremendous pressure off of Dwight Howard. He won't even be the center there. He'll be that guy that'll be open for those 15-foot jump shots in case Dwight Howard is double-teamed in the middle, in the paint, underneath the basket, because that's always a possibility. So that should open things up for their offense. If you're Houston, I would seriously take that offer from Chris Bosh. I would seriously take that. That's something that you definitely want to think about. If you're LeBron, either you go back to the team you've been playing for or the team that you used to play for. It's one of those two teams. I can't see nobody else coming into the picture. I will say that if you're LeBron, you had always thought about going back to Cleveland. Think about this. The last 2 years, there had always been rumors speculating that once LeBron's contract was going to end in Miami, that he was definitely going to either consider going back to Cleveland or going back to Cleveland altogether. Here's your chance. Because during the finals against San Antonio, it started to feel like the old Cleveland team all over again. LeBron being LeBron and not having much of a supporting cast. So what do you do? If you're Miami, do you give LeBron what he wants? I mean, if you're Pat Riley, what do you say? What do you do? Now, Pat Riley did have that press conference where he talked about players having the guts to stick together, not bolting out when the going gets tough. And we all know that he was definitely addressing LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh regarding that particular press conference. But I will say that if LeBron stays put in Miami, they're going to have to get him some help. Cleveland, they got some talent. They seriously got some talent. You got Kyrie Irving. You got Deion Waiters. I mean, you just drafted Andrew Wiggins. However, there is talk that Cleveland could trade Andrew Wiggins to the Minnesota Timberwolves for the right to Kevin Love. If that happens, if you're LeBron, you got to say, I think Cleveland just raised the stakes. I think I should go back home and give this one more go and finish my career there. I haven't always agreed with everything that Charles Barkley said, but he made perfect sense about LeBron going back to Cleveland. It's the perfect scenario for him. he definitely did all that he expected to do in Miami, except win more than two championships like he promised fans. But I think that he has an opportunity to right the ship. Regardless of what Dan Gilbert said about him, all of that can be resolved. And I think Dan Gilbert realizes that, you know what, it was the heat of the moment. I should have never said what I said. But when you're an owner, a GM, a coach, or even a teammate, a player, sometimes when something like that happens, your superstar, your best player gets away, sure enough, you're going to say something like that and take a shot at him, whoever that guy is. You got to remember, it's all about business. It's not just entertainment and winning in basketball. It's a business aspect, too. Players are going to do what they feel is right for them, and they're also going to do what they feel is the best decision for their families, if they have families, their friends, market values, opportunities, money. Is that team in a position to win a championship? So you have to take all those things into consideration. You have to say, you know what? I got to think about this. I got to wonder, what should I do? You know, the pressure is on him. I think there's more pressure on him now than there was back in 2010. Because deep in the back of my mind, I knew that he was probably going to go and play for Miami as soon as they made all those moves. So with that being said, I would like to see LeBron go back to Cleveland. And if they do get Kevin Love in a trade, whether it's Andrew Wiggins that they have to give up or anybody else, I would seriously take that. I would seriously go with that. Now, LeBron is going to go and watch the World Cup Finals over the weekend, so we're not going to hear anything much about his decision until after the weekend. I would say Monday or Tuesday at the latest. Carmelo, on the other hand, we could find out something by tomorrow before the weekend officially gets here. I think Carmelo should stay put in New York. I think they got the most money to keep him. I don't know what Chicago has to offer in terms of money value. And the Lakers, they just don't have a whole lot. But him and Kobe together would be an interesting tandem. And as a Lakers fan, like I said, I would embrace that. I would seriously embrace that and enjoy it. That would be fun. I mean, that would be amazing to watch. So that's something to keep your head on. If you're Carmelo, if you're the Knicks, if you're an NBA fan, period. And let's not rule out that these two guys do want to play together. Whether it's Miami, whether it's even in New York. I mean, who knows? LeBron might want to go and join Carmelo in New York. Phil Jackson has the ability to pull strings. He has the ability to attract players because players will want to play for him, whether he's a coach or whether he's not in the front office. So let's think about that. Think about that as this show progresses. Think about that all the way up until the weekend, because things are about to shake up big time. I'm counting on it. I'm anticipating it. So that's something that's been going on tonight. We also have the situation in the NFL. Multiple players are getting suspended left and right, and I feel like these guys should be put in rehabilitation leagues. They should come up with something called the RFL, Rehabilitation Football League, or the NRL, the National Rehabilitation League, because a lot of these players in the NFL can certainly use it. It's getting mind-boggling that these guys are continuing to get in trouble with multiple substance abuse policies. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I also think that you have to set an example, especially if you're a veteran, especially if you're a guy that's been around the league a few years, at least 3 or 4 years. You got to set an example for your team, your fans, the coaches, everybody. You can't keep getting into trouble. And I'm mainly pointing a finger at Josh Gordon. This guy's been getting in trouble going back to his days at the University of Baylor. Seriously, dude, what are you doing? And I haven't always agreed with everything that Chris Carter said, but if the Browns want to send a strong message, I would suspend Josh Gordon for the whole season. Or at least 8 games. At least 8 games. Without pay. That's how you get through to somebody, it seems like. So that's something to think about. And speaking of football, we have a couple birthdays to pass along. And these guys are old school players. Old school players. First of all, happy birthday to Daryl Talley today. A lot of people might not remember who he was, but he was a good, solid football player. A very good, solid football player. He turns 54 today. Spent much of his career with the Buffalo Bills, who drafted him back in 1983. Played there until 1994. Played 1 year in Atlanta in 95. And finished his career with the Vikings in 1996. A two-time Pro Bowler, a two-time All-Pro. He played in four Super Bowls. Those four Super Bowls that the Bills went to consecutively. Finished his career with 38.5 sacks with 12 interceptions and 2 defensive touchdowns. And he was a big player on that Bills team, on those Bills teams during the 90s. Good player, good linebacker, solid guy to tackle. Was fun to watch. And if you were a Bills fan, then you certainly enjoyed watching him play. So happy birthday to him. Also, happy 54th birthday to Roger Craig, who was arguably the best all-around back before Marshall Faulk. Like, he was Marshall Faulk before Marshall Faulk got there. And he was a big piece on those 49ers teams that went to Super Bowls, that won those Super Bowls. Spends much of his career with the 49ers from 83 to 90. Coming out of University of Nebraska, he was a second-round pick, 49th overall. Played 1 year with the Raiders. Also spent his last 2 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings. 4-time Pro Bowler, AP first-team All-Pro in 88, AP second-team All-Pro in 85, 3-time Super Bowl champion, the AP NFL Offensive Player of the Year in 1988, the NFC Player of the Year that same season, the NFL All-80s Decade Team, the University of Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame 2008, and the 49ers Hall of Fame 2011. 8,189 career rushing yards, 566 career receptions, 4,911 career reception yards, 73 career total touchdowns with a 4.1 yards per carry average. Won all 3 of the Super Bowls with the 49ers, playing on those great teams with Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, John Taylor, Dwight Clark, along with the coaches, Bill Walsh and George Seifert. Phenomenal player. He was the best all-around back. Like I said, he was Marshall Faulk before Marshall Faulk. But nonetheless, happy birthday to him. Many more happy returns. And like I said, this whole situation in the NFL is really getting out of hand with some of these guys. It's just really, really, really ridiculous. Let me give you a quick recap on what's been going on here, okay? And I want you to understand clearly of what's been going on with some of these players, okay? First of all, we already talked about Josh Gordon. Another player has been suspended multiple times. And that is Redskins safety Tanar Jackson, suspended for a 4th time, violating the NFL substance abuse policy. The league announced yesterday that he has been suspended indefinitely without pay. I think Josh Gordon should get that same type of punishment. The guy is 28 years old. He was suspended twice for playing with Tampa Bay, 4 games in 2009, and for 12 months starting in September 2010. He just came over to the Redskins 2 seasons ago, and now he might not even play this season. How stupid do you have to be? What are you doing out there? All you players out there getting suspended, seriously, what's going on here? Have you lost it? I mean, I just don't understand it, man. I just don't understand why these players continue to do the stupid stuff that they do and get caught. You have to set an example. As if the Redskins already didn't have enough issues with their team name, now something like this comes up. It's ridiculous, man. It is flat out ridiculous. And I, for one, am getting fed up with it. I'm sick of these players getting suspended. I'm sick of these players getting busted and getting caught and getting into all sorts of off-the-field trouble. It pisses you off. And it should. especially if you're a Redskins fan. There's enough stress within the organization as it is. You don't need this. I mean, come on. You've got to set an example. You just have to. It doesn't make any sense why you allow yourself to get caught with these particular issues. It's just ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. Now, another player, actually, we've had a couple players that have also been suspended / banned just recently. One of those guys is Indianapolis Colts backup wide receiver LeBron Brazil. Up until the news was reported, I didn't even know who the guy was. But he's been suspended for the entire 2014 season for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. Now, he was suspended for the first four games last year for violating the substance abuse policy. And he stated at the time it was for marijuana use. Now, he played in 10 games last year. He came back in the final 10 regular season games, caught just 12 passes for 161 yards and 2 touchdowns. In just 2 seasons, he only has 23 catches for 347 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's only played 2 seasons. Again, the bottom line is, this is just getting ridiculous. Period. It's just getting ridiculous. And as if the Colts organization didn't have enough issues either. Starting at the top with their stupid owner. Yes, I call Jim Irsay stupid because he is stupid. I hope he gets punished too by Roger Goodell during his trial hearing, which is supposed to take place next month. And there will be more on that to come in future shows. Trust me. Yours truly, Rocket, is going to be breaking that down once we get more collective information regarding that. I promise you. Now, down south, even further to Miami, their defensive end from the Dolphins, Deion Jordan, has been suspended for the first 4 games of this upcoming season for a doping violation. This news came on the same day on NFL.com, who reported that LeBron Brazil from the Colts was suspended for the entire upcoming season. Now, Deion Jordan was drafted last year. He was a number 3 overall selection. He can still take part in all off-season programs, preseason training camp, preseason games. He won't be able to take part in the first 4 regular season games. As if the Dolphins didn't have enough issues dating back to last year with the whole Richie Incognito Jonathan Martin situation and all that leading into the front office with the head coach, with the coaches, GM, the training staff. I mean, it seems like these players who are getting suspended are part of organizations that have their own issues to deal with already. But again, you get caught doping, that's it. Now, he played in all 16 games for the Dolphins last year, so this is his first time being suspended for anything. And hopefully for his case, it'll be the last. Because you don't want to see this. You don't want to see this. You don't want this to go on. You don't want this. Seriously. And everybody needs to seriously take into consideration why these things are happening. All right? I just want you all to think about that. And I also want you all to think about the fact that when you make some decisions, you are liable to be guilty just like the rest of us that get caught. Normal people who get caught and have to do jail time. Luckily, he doesn't have to do jail time or any of these players. That's something to seriously think about. I want you all to think about this, okay? Because it's getting out of hand. It's ridiculous. We don't need this in football. It's just getting crazy. Just getting crazy. I don't know what to think about it, really. But it's getting crazy, and I don't know what to think about it anymore. I don't know what to make of it. Now, we do have some other NFL news to pass along real quickly. The Falcons have placed receiver Drew Davis on the physically unable to perform list, PUP for short, but training camp after recent foot surgery. Now, he's not expected to be back on the field for 6 weeks. He caught 16 passes of 216 yards and 3 touchdowns last year, and he will be sidelined for at least the next month and a half. Wow, that's the last thing the Falcons need, another wide receiver having injury issues. And for the Falcons, they're going to need Julio Jones and Roddy White both to be healthy if they have any shot at competing in the NFC postseason to get to the Super Bowl or even get into the playoffs, period. Because that division has just gotten a little bit tougher. Carolina started to emerge, especially on the defensive side. You got New Orleans. They're still going to be around as long as Sean Payton and Drew Brees are doing what they're doing. And alongside Jimmy Graham, assuming that the whole situation with him works out, that team is going to be competing for multiple Super Bowls. Tampa Bay just significantly got a little bit better. New head coach. They might have a new starting quarterback this season. You drafted Mike Evans out of Texas A&M. They're making some moves. They're about ready to compete in that NFC South, that rugged NFC South. And every year, ever since the 14 divisions first opened in 2002, nobody in the NFC South has been a back-to-back division champion. Isn't that something? Nobody. And it's been a while since the Buccaneers have won their division. They were at the bottom, and they got a chance to compete. Like I said, they have a chance to compete this year and gain some more credibility and respectability. Now, none of the four eligible players were taken in the NFL supplement draft earlier today. League spokesman Michael Signora says in an email that all four players, New Mexico receiver Chase Clayton, North Carolina linebacker Darius Whitford, Virginia Lynchburg defensive tackle Lendrick Ross, and SMU running back Traylon Sheed went undrafted and are now free agents. Now, the supplemental draft allows qualified underclassmen who did not request early entry into the regular draft to have a chance at entering the NFL. Teams submit picks and are awarded players if their bid, which round they take that player, is higher. Teams then lose the corresponding pick in next year's draft. Hopefully those guys will find teams and hopefully they'll have an opportunity to compete. That would be big for them. Also, going back to the NBA real quickly, other free agent news to pass along. The Portland Trail Blazers have brought back guard Steve Blake for the next 2 seasons. He had played there from 2005-2006 season. Also spent time there from 2007-2010. They signed him as a free agent after coming over from the Golden State Warriors, who traded for him with the Los Angeles Lakers at the midway season this past year. So he's back, and that's good. That's a good signing for Portland. They could use better, they could use more point guard play, especially someone to play behind Damian Lillard, and Blake is a perfect complimentary guy that can come off the bench and help you out. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to reflect on our old school / new school sports video game. And also, we got some MLB scores and news to pass along, along with updated coverage of the World Cup. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be back.
My baby, what a lady, girl. Ooh. You're like a wine, you get better with time. Got your knee along, Lord, this your song, you're so fine. From everything that you wear, your kind of beauty is rare. And I swear you get better looking with every year. I get your sexual peak, your full figure physique. Young girl can't compete, I'm cooking something to eat, baby. And since we in the kitchen, girl, let me get that muffin. You look better the older you get.
Can't believe what time, girl, you're getting better. Looking like a picture of before and after.
The story gets more pretty every chapter. Getting more attractive.
Aging up faster.
You really need to let me
that your mouth, you looking thicker. You know how to hold your liquor. Show me your ID, I get the picture. I propose and those players raise your glass. But my river cup box is in my safety dash. Ladies, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm about to eat that turkey.
You look better the older you get.
I can't believe what time. They wouldn't believe me.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We are now at the 7:30 time, halfway through our show. Got 30 more minutes left on air tonight. To call in, it's 347-327-9586. Tonight we're going to reflect on old school video games, but before we get to that, we got some more NBA news to pass along. Now, just to update you a little bit more with more free agent news that have been kind of going down the last, I guess, 12 to 24 hours. The Utah Jazz have acquired veteran forward Steve Novak from the Toronto Raptors in exchange for guard Deontay Garrett. They also received the rights to the Knicks' second-round draft pick in 2017 as part of the deal, which was struck last Friday but formally announced by the Utah Jazz organization earlier today. The 6'10" Novak does have a 43% in terms of three-point shooting over his eight-year career, second only to Stephen Curry from Golden State among active players. Last year, Novak averaged 3.3 points per game, 1.1 rebounds in just 10 minutes per game over 54 games with Toronto. He was acquired by Toronto in a deal last summer that sent forward Andrea Bargnani to New York in exchange for Novak, Quentin Richardson, Marcus Camby, and future draft picks. I think the Jazz just got a little bit better. That's a good acquisition for them. And like I said, we talked about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And speaking of the Toronto Raptors, as you all know, they did re-sign Kyle Lowry to a multi-year contract, $48 million, and he definitely deserves every penny of it. This guy is a rising star in the NBA, and he's only going to get better. They acquired him from Houston back in the summer 2012. In his past two seasons with the Raptors, he has averaged 15 points and 7 assists in 147 regular season games. And like I said, he's only going to get better. He's a perfect fit for that team, and they are coming on strong. This is a team that's really going to turn some more heads as long as they keep their core of players together and continue to get better by even bringing in other guys as well and doing well in the draft and continuing to do better in coaching. This is a team that's upcoming, they're young, and they're looking for respect. Like I talked about with the Cleveland Cavaliers, they did complete a three-team cap clearing trade. And it's not just about landing LeBron James. They were trying to get under the cap anyway. Now, the Cavaliers, the Celtics, and recently the Brooklyn Nets were part of this three-team trade. Cleveland sent guard Jared Jack and swingman Sergei Karasev to Brooklyn and center Tyler Zeller in a first-round pick to Boston. In return, the Cavaliers acquired a future conditional second-round pick from the Celtics and sent the draft rights to forwards Ilkan Karaman and Edin Backbitch, or Backfit, sorry, from the Brooklyn Nets. The Celtics will get guard Marcus Thornton and his expiring $8 million contract from Brooklyn. The deal first reported on Wednesday was designed to give the Cavs enough room under the salary cap to offer LeBron James a contract and also just get under the cap period, because I think that's what the Cavaliers needed to do anyway. And that maximum contract that they can offer him is up to $21 million, 20.7 to be exact. Also, Marcin Gortat is staying put in Washington, 5 years, $60 million. This is a guy that's also gotten better, especially going back to his days in Orlando. Ever since he left, he had just started to get better. Just got a lot better, and dude just got a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Speaking of the Cavaliers, Kyrie Irving does sign a 5-year extension to stay put in Cleveland. He's not going anywhere, even though he had expressed frustration within the organization earlier this year, but he's not going anywhere. So Cavaliers fans can breathe a sigh of relief. And if LeBron does come over, you get to keep him, and you'll have your best two players together. The Portland Trail Blazers have signed Chris Kamen to a 2-year deal. And that's also another good pickup for them. They're trying to get better within the front court, and I think this is a good move. It's a good step in the direction. He's 7 feet. Throughout his 11-year career, Kamen has averaged 11.7 points per game, 7.9 rebounds, and 1.4 blocks throughout his career. He is expected to back up Robin Lopez with the Trail Blazers. He played last year with the Lakers, averaging 10.5 points per game, 6 rebounds, but was limited to a career-low 18.7 minutes per game in just 39 games. He, too, like Kobe, Gasol, and Nash, struggled for much of the season with injuries. But it's a good move for the Trail Blazers. They need to bolster up that front court, because here's the thing, they could lose LaMarcus Aldridge next season if they're not careful. And as you all know, it's coming down to LeBron and Carmelo and even Chris Bosh. What are they going to do? So that's something to keep a close eye on. To the World Cup, and as you all know, just a couple days ago, we saw Germany just annihilate Brazil 7-1, and I haven't seen a group of fans that saddened since LeBron James left Cleveland back in 2010. Also that same night, Argentina defeated the Netherlands by a score of 4-2. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think that was by a score of 4-2. So the final game will take place this upcoming Sunday between Germany and Argentina. The third place game will take place between Brazil and Netherlands. So good luck to all those teams. Moving over to the baseball, right now we have some games that have gone final today. We have the Oakland Athletics. They beat the San Francisco Giants by a score of 6-1. Oakland is playing some good ball, even though they got swept by the Tigers last week, but they are playing some very good baseball. They got the best record in the American League, and who knows, they might hang on to it throughout the rest of the regular season. Scott Kazmir got his 11th victory of the season. He is now 11-3. And Tim Hudson got his 6th loss, so he's now 7-6 this season. The Chicago White Sox lose in Boston at Fenway to the Red Sox by a score of 4-3 in 10 innings. Mike Karp singled to shallow left while Daniel Nava scored that game-winning run. Andrew Miller, he's only 3-5, but he did get his 3rd victory of the season. And for Boston, Alexei Ramirez went 3-for-5 at the plate, scoring a run, and also recording a stolen base in the game. Also, we had the Philadelphia Phillies defeating the Milwaukee Brewers 9-1. The Chicago Cubs defeated the Cincinnati Reds 6-4 in 12 innings. Currently, we have Baltimore with the Orioles up 1-0 in the middle of the third inning to the Washington Nationals. Pittsburgh is currently up 1-0 on St. Louis. The first inning just ended. The Atlanta Braves are up 2-0 over the New York Mets. That game is in the middle of the second inning. And currently the Yankees and Indians are both scoreless in the bottom of the second inning. Just to give you a little bit more baseball insight. Also, we have some games that are getting ready to come up. We got the Tigers getting ready to have a divisional showdown with the Kansas City Royals. That game is getting ready to take place in about 30 minutes from now. You can check your local Fox Sports stations, especially all you Detroit folks out there, including yours truly. Fox Sports Detroit, you can listen to that game on there. And we have the Los Angeles Angels and the Texas Rangers. That game's getting ready to come up in just about 25 minutes. And then later tonight at 10 p.m. exactly, we have two games. The Dodgers hosting the Padres and the Minnesota Twins traveling to face the Seattle Mariners. I did say that there were some baseball news to pass along real quickly. And unfortunately, they're not good news for a couple teams such as the Yankees and the Cardinals. For the Cardinals, their all-star catcher, Yadier Molina, will undergo surgery tomorrow to repair a torn ligament in his right thumb, which could sideline him for the rest of the regular season. Now, they have him listed as out for 8 to 12 weeks, but it could be a lot longer than that. Big blow for the Cardinals. Major big blow for them. This team, currently right now, they are 50-42. They're in second place in the National League division, and yet they just suffered a big blow. Completely a devastating blow. And unfortunately, I don't know what this will do for the team going forward, but I can tell you, that's a big blow. You're losing your all-star catcher. That's a huge blow. The Yankees lost their pitcher, Masahiro Tanaka, on a 15-day disabled list with inflammation in his right elbow. Expected to meet with the team doctor tonight in Seattle. Manager Joe Girardi said Tanaka has flown from New York to Seattle, where his doctor, the team's head physician, is attending a conference. Maybe get a second-year opinion. Now, he's 25 years old. They signed him to a $155 million seven-year contract back in January after he had a standout career in Japan. And they're paying $20 million to his Japanese team, the Rakuten Golden Eagles, for his rights. The Yankees got enough issues already. They're basically at the start of the season, their entire starting pitching rotation has been dealing with injuries, including Cesar Sabathia. We don't know when he's going to be back. Devastating. And right now, the Yankees are definitely on the outside looking in. I don't think they're going to make the postseason at all. And that would be shameful for Derek Jeter, because this will be his last year in baseball as a player. Next week, next Tuesday, will be his final All-Star game. Best wishes to him going forward, unfortunately. Now, getting into the whole old-school video game thing, you know, I first started getting into old-school video games when I was young. I remember I was about 2 or 3 years old when I first played Nintendo. And of course, the first game I ever played was Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. But the very first sports game I recall playing was the old school NBA Jam, Sega Genesis. I played the Sega Genesis version, and I played the Super Nintendo version. You talk about classic. I mean, it was classic. It didn't get no better than NBA Jam back in the day. I used to love playing Turbo version, where you can zoom all over the court with players. Now, you know, it was two players that you could play with. Like, basically, you could have two players at a time. And I always used to play with the Charlotte Hornets. And I used to play with Larry Johnson and Muggsy Bogues. And occasionally, I would switch Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning, but it was always, most of the time, Larry Johnson and Muggsy Bogues. Muggsy Bogues was a quick little whippersnapper on that game, and he was just so impossible to chase. I mean, he was so fast, so quick. I used to love playing with that team. some of the other teams I used to play occasionally, I would play with the Orlando Magic with Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway. Most of the time, it was Nick Anderson and Penny Hardaway because I like to shoot the three. I was big on shooting the three and taking it to the rim. But shooting those three balls, and they would say, he's on fire. It didn't get no better than that, man. It was straight up classic. And for humor purposes, and I think a lot of you all can agree with this, Hillary and Bill Clinton. Who didn't play with those two at least once? I mean, I did. It was funny to see Bill Clinton do a 360 windmill and Hillary Clinton shooting jump shots from behind the three-point line. I mean, it was fun. I used to play the NBA Jam Tournament Edition, which you put in codes, specific codes, where you could shoot the ball from anywhere around the court and it would have a number on it. And if you made the shot, you get that number of points. And they also had these little simple things that if you touched them, the opposing team would just fall down, which would leave you at the court. You could dribble down and get a quick dunk, a quick two-point, whatever you wanted to do. Fast break points were crucial on that game. And I loved playing also with the San Antonio Spurs, having David Robinson and Dennis Rodman. Just classic, classic, classic. It didn't get any better, man. It didn't get any better. And they also used to have this team called the Rookies, which had guys like Chuck Person, Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, if I'm not too mistaken. I mean, it's been so long since I played the game, but I remember so much about it because it seemed like it was yesterday. Having so much fun playing that game was just awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And if you haven't played NBA Jam, and if you are big on old school, you're just curious about it, check it out. Or go on YouTube and just watch somebody play. Because, you know, you know how YouTube has it where they have a lot of video games that you can play on it. You can just sit back and watch. Like, oh, okay, yeah. This is kind of entertaining. I can get with this. You know, this is pretty cool. So that's what made the game so much fun. And if I had it still, I'd play the darn thing. You know. Oh, man. Fun. Fun. Fun times. Incredible times. Another game that I used to play a lot for Nintendo was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Now, originally the game was called Punch-Out on the first Nintendo system. Came out in 1987, the year after I was born. And I remember the graphics, because there wasn't much graphics. Let's be honest, a lot of those games back then, the graphics were solid. They were average and everything. It was so much fun to play. I remember playing that game a handful of times. And it was just so awesome. I can't remember all the characters, but I do remember playing with Great Tiger, who's a 29-year-old Indian boxer. He appeared on the arcade version of the game. I remember playing with Disco Kid, Bald Bull, Mr. Dream, Mr. Sandman, Glass Joe, Max Muscle, Mad Clown. One of my favorite characters to play with was Super Macho Man. He was fun. He was absolutely fun. See, this game brings back so many memories, but it's been so long since I played it. But it was classic. Straight up classic. Fun times. Fun times. And, of course, we all played the Madden series. I mean, what's not to love about the Madden series? But if you want to talk old school Madden, Sega Genesis, Madden 95, Madden 96, Madden 97, Madden 98. Oh, man. I remember, because I used to play with the Lions a lot. I also used to play with the Cowboys, the 49ers, and the Broncos. Those are the teams I used to play a lot with. And I remember playing against Philadelphia with Rodney Peete as their starting quarterback. And we all know Rodney P used to get injured a lot. I don't think Rodney P ever played a full season in the NFL. But you know how when guys get injured, and it always made that screechy sound a little bit, you knew it was coming. And it would occur right after the ball was snapped. Right after the ball was snapped. Somebody didn't know who until it announced at the top of the screen. And if he got up and walked under his own power, most likely he would be able to come back in the game, or he probably just sit out the rest of the game. But if he got carted off the field, he was out for a lengthy amount of time. We're talking the rest of the regular season, 10 weeks, 15 weeks, you know, 2 or 3. I remember Roddy Pete always used to get injured on that game. It was like they had the details right on him. Completely. Old school, man. First time I played the Cyber Madden games was Madden 98 on Sega Saturn. And that's when that was the year that the Cyber era was introduced. And you saw the graphics. You saw how the graphics were starting to change in all and many concepts of video games. Not just in sports, but in action, fighting games, mission games, the whole nine just about. And I remember going on to play the Madden series on PlayStation and how the graphics were just starting to get better and better and just were changing. Just fun, man. Just absolutely fun to play. I also remember playing Tecmo Bowl. If you never played football, a football game until you played Tecmo Bowl or Tecmo Super Bowl, whatever you wanted to call it. So much fun. And the best three running backs to play with, Bo Jackson, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith. Bo Jackson was a guy that he could run up the middle and he was just tough to tackle. Emmitt Smith was a guy that he could run up the middle and run through you, run over you a little bit. Barry was a guy that would juke you out. Like, he would run all over the field, do zigzags, touchdowns and stuff. Just absolutely so much fun. I enjoyed playing that game like there was no tomorrow. I used to play that game with my cousin. Shout out to my cousin out there, too, my cousin Mike. We used to play the old school video games, Madden, Tecmo Bowl, all that stuff, man. It was so much fun. That was one of my favorite video games to play. I enjoyed playing Tecmo Bowl. You just don't understand, okay? And then another one of my favorite games I used to play growing up was this game called Ice Hockey, which was on Nintendo. It was a game, it was just called Ice Hockey. Just called Ice Hockey. The game was introduced in 1998 for NES. And every team, it was the team, you had four players. You had the goalie, who was like a normal size, kind of. You had the regular size player, then you had the tall, skinny guy, and then you had the short, chubby guy. And there was always a fight breaking out on those games. I mean, fights would break out constantly, and sometimes it would be the chubby guy fighting the skinny guy, and sometimes the skinny guy would win. It would just be crazy. And they would just let it happen. They would just let the fight happen. It was just pure entertainment. Just a regular game called Ice Hockey. I had the game for Nintendo. I still have it actually stored somewhere in my bedroom, but, I mean, it was just so much fun. People just don't understand. That was a great game to play. It was actually the best hockey game I ever played. The best. By far the best hockey game I ever played. I mean, I had so much fun playing that. That was fun. Also, if you really want to reminisce a little bit and you want to really reflect, who can ever forget Triple Play Series? Growing up, I was a Tigers and Braves fan, but obviously the Braves were the more successful team back in that era when those games were coming out. And I always used to play with them a lot more. And I would get Chipper Jones, and Chipper Jones would never let me down. Home run every time I'm at the plate. Bam, eye of the park. Jack up some runs. Booyah. Just straight up killing them, man. Those Triple Play games were so much fun. They really were. They were really, really fun. And just talking about these games just brings back so many memories, man. I might just go on YouTube tonight and just watch some of these games that are on YouTube and just watch how these guys played them. And just kind of sit back and be entertained. Have some popcorn and beer on deck. Bam. Just sit back and watch and enjoy it. You know how it is. You know how it was. You know how it all went down, man. Just fun, man. Just absolutely fun. Absolutely fun. I got a kick out of it, though. I honestly did. And I got to say, I loved it. Now, the 2K games really brought a lot more cyber effects to it. But either way you looked at it, they were fun and entertaining. I also have played the NBA Street Series. I thought the NBA Street Series was great. Very entertaining. Highlight dunks, and you can play with old school players. Create your own player. You can play with the best in the NBA. You can unlock legends. Just so much fun. It's just gratifying thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? And I also think back to some of the other bad games, like football related, because I played a lot of different football games. I'll tell you, I hated NFL Blitz. Wasn't too fond of the NFL Game Day series. NFL Quarterback Club was okay. And NFL Street was just plain stupid. Okay, really. I didn't understand that at all. And for the NBA, I mean, NBA Live, the NBA Live series are fun. NBA 2K games are solid too, depending on which ones you play, what your teams look like, who the players were on your team, and all that other jazz. But it just depends. It depends on what you enjoy. Everybody's got a difference in opinion as to what they enjoy playing and what they enjoy watching. So I got to say, fun. Fun. Absolutely fun. And as we come to the end of the Rocket Sports Breakdown, I just wanted to take the time to reflect tonight. We'll be back on air again next week. And I also want to say real quickly, big ups to my new teammates from the Inner Spotlight television show. Our next episode is expected to air this Sunday on WADL. I would say either 7 or 8 o'clock p.m. You can check the local listings, and we'll have more posted on our fan page on Facebook. But get ready. We might even have El DeBarge interviewed on the show. He's in town this weekend for a concert, by the way. So get ready for a power trip, because it's going to go down. Also, shout out to everybody that's going to perform tonight at They Say Downtown Detroit on the east side. My cousin Joshua Adams is going to be featured. So big ups to him. Big ups to all my comedians, my actors, poets, filmmakers, musicians, all different sorts of artists. Everybody that's out there grinding hard, doing what they love doing, and passionate about what they love doing. So I got to say big ups to you. And there's especially one special person who I definitely want to give a shout out to. She knows who she is. I'll just say her nickname is Creative. If she's listening to the show, or if you ever want to go back and listen to the archives, she knows who she is. Just want to say I love you. Looking forward to catching up with you soon. Big ups to the Inner Spotlight crew, everybody that's out there doing their thing. On behalf of the Rocket Sports Breakdown, this is Rocket signing off. See you next time. Check me out. Upcoming, got some comedy shows coming up. Next Saturday, I'll be at the Artist Village for the first time officially. Till then, be seeing you. Get ready for a power trip. See you next time.